There is a right weight for every individual. Only you can decide what that weight should be for your body. Likewise, how to reach and maintain your correct weight is up to you. One way is to add calories to your exercise and diet regimen. Why? Because calories is a clinically tested, naturally sourced, stimulant-free dietary supplement that can give you the edge in managing your weight. 10 years of research has shown calories' superior fat-binding properties can reduce up to 500 calories a day from the fat in foods you eat. 2 calories tablets taken with any meal containing fats will absorb and eliminate up to 9 times their weight in fat without side effects. Calories needs no prescription and is available at your local GNC, Walgreens, and soon CVS store or online at calories.com. That's CALOREASE.com. This statement has not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne on Life Coach Radio Network here on May 1st, 2014. And it is an amazing Thursday afternoon here in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Just a moment ago, it was snowing here in my world, which is pretty crazy considering it's May 1st. But up here in the mountains, we are above a mile high. We never quite know what's going to happen here in our weather, but I am super grateful that you have chosen to spend some time with us here on Life Coach Radio Networks today on this beautiful Thursday. It is also the National Day of Prayer, so I want to give a shout out to everyone and encourage you to grab somebody's hand today and lift up our nation and all of its people and the world around us in prayer today. I am, like I said, one of over 20 coaches here on Life Coach Radio Network who come to you each and every day on one of 3 networks, Life Coach Radio Network, Life Coach Chat Channel, and International Life Coach Radio, to bring you shows that will inspire you, encourage you, perhaps challenge you, and champion you to live the lives that you were created to live. Like I said, I am Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk coach. I am the CEO of Legacy Now Lived and the creator of the Heirloom Coaching Process. As a life and leadership coach, I have designed a process specifically for the Tapestry of Adoption. I work with individuals within the Tapestry of Adoption to help them to reveal the missing threads in the fabric of their lives so then they are free to weave them back together again and create a brand new legacy of love for generations to come within the context of their family. And I really do consider it a real privilege to be able to walk that journey shoulder to shoulder with each person that my life touches. I am an adult adoptee. I have been in reunion with my biological family for over half of my life and am incredibly privileged for that honor. And I am joined today by the amazing Claudia Darcy. And I am so excited to have Claudia with me here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. We are going to be talking about coming out of the closet and finding your voice. And for those of you who that title piqued your interest, I am super glad that you are here today. Oftentimes we talk about coming out of the closet within the gay and lesbian community. I want to encourage you that the closet is much bigger than that. It can be a closet of addiction. It can be a closet of different challenges that you face every day, and it can also be a closet of adoption. Oftentimes that closet is anywhere where a secret is being held. And so I just really want to encourage each one of you to open up your minds and your hearts to what we have to share today on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. I do want to offer up quick, before I introduce Claudia, I do want to introduce the phone number. If you have a question, thought, or comment for either myself or Claudia, I want to offer up this phone number to you. The number is 646-716-9397, and you are welcome to call in and chat with either Claudia or myself. So Claudia has been writing about life as a birth mother, adoptees' rights, and the unethical adoption industry since 2005. She originally began independently researching adoption issues in 2001 in preparation of the successful search and reunion with her own son, Max, who was placed for adoption in 1987. Her writings on adoption have been published in the New York Times, What to Expect, Chicago Now, Blog Her, Divine Caroline, Adoption Today Magazine, Adoption Constellation Magazine, Adoption Voice Magazine, and many others. She's been interviewed by Dan Rather, Montel Williams, and appeared on Huffington Post regarding adoption, as well as presented at various adoption conferences. Her website, Musings of the Lane, is a much-needed roadmap for many mothers who have relinquished, adoptees who long to be heard, and adoptive parents who seek a deeper understanding. And I had the privilege of meeting Claudia in San Francisco a few weeks back when we attended together the American Adoption Congress's convention. And so welcome, Claudia, to Walk Your Talk with Leanne.
Hi.
Hey.
So funny to be here. But thank you for having me on. I'm looking forward to basically continuing, I think, our conversations that we started in San Francisco.
Absolutely. You know, we were in that beautiful city together. We had the privilege of being roommates for the conference as well as touring the city and hearing some amazing speakers and having, you know, real intimate, beautiful conversations with each person that was represented there at the Congress. And, you know, for me, it was my first conference with the American Adoption Congress, and I was incredibly encouraged by the transparency, the honesty, and just the reality of the beauty and the complexities within the tapestry of adoption.
Yeah, it's. I have to say, I always tell people, you know, if you've never once, if you're affected by adoption and you've never ever been in a place where you know that you're surrounded by other people who are affected by, you know, or also adoption affected, it is a life-changing experience. I mean, it's just to be around people that you don't have to edit yourself with, that you don't have to worry if they're going to understand or get it. You know, you don't have to put all these crevices and disclosures and explain everything. You can just say something simply from your heart, and they hear you, and they understand because they know, because they've lived it too. It's just, they're wonderful experiences. I treasure each and every one. I'm looking forward. It's a busy year for me, and I'm so excited. But, you know, I got to go to San Francisco, which was absolutely wonderful, and then I'm going to go down to St. John's University at the end of the month for the Adoption Initiative Conference, which is absolutely also wonderful, and it's very exciting.
It is very exciting, and I just have really enjoyed getting to know you, Claudia, to hear your heart. I really do. You know, I've spent time on your website reading. I spent, you know, 5 days with you getting to know you and know your heart. And, you know, just really love how we resonate together, how so many of our thoughts are definitely interwoven into this tapestry that we call adoption. And I'm really excited about our topic today that we're going to address on Life Coach Radio Network here, Walk Your Talk with Leanne. You know, everyone, Claudia, as we found out at the conference, as we hear and see all over the media, and that we are able to read online, that everybody sees adoption through the lens of their own experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as the Walk Your Talk coach, Claudia, I say this to my people all the time, that it's hard to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes when you've been walking in your own for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I share that analogy, you, as we prepare to walk into the closet of adoption, what do you want our leaders to know, our listeners, they are leaders or they would not be tuned into this call. So welcome leaders within this community. But Claudia, as we get ready to walk into the closet of adoption, as you and I have kind of chatted about prior to our live show today, what do you want them to know about you?
Oh, well, you know, I have to say it's funny. One of the things that I'm very, I've noticed I'm resistant to, but I still am, I think there's a reason for it. You know, in relinquishing and becoming a birth mother, one of the strong, you know, it's considered more positive, but it's still a stereotype as far as I'm concerned, is making us into some kind of, you know, selfless, stronger than the average, you know, heroic, you know, family building angel. And, you know, because I relinquished in 1987, you know, it was kind of the crux years, the 80s was really, really super changing. And so it was, you know, going from, you know, the closed baby scoop era of forced adoptions and going into more, you know, what we have now, the open adoptions. And so I had a little bit of both. I always say I have, like, you know, a foot in each camp. But I definitely was, you know, put upon a pedestal and said that I was, you know, wonderful and, you know, selfless and strong. And I, you know, I lived on that pedestal for a good 12 years before I live here anymore. And the fact that sometimes, though, you know, oh, you do this and you're so active and you do that and you're, I don't want to be on a pedestal. And I am really, like, honestly, the things that I do are not really spectacular. I just don't feel like they're anything that's not ordinary. And so, you know, almost out of anything, what I'd love for people to just take away from this is that you can do everything too. There's nothing that I do, there's nothing that I say that I don't have any superpowers, you know. Half the time mm-hmm. I go, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I just do it. And, you know, it doesn't always work, but I don't wait for people to, you know, invite me or, you know, I don't ask for permission. I just go and do it. And it doesn't always work. I mean, sometimes it's like, okay, that was a disaster, which is fine, you know, and you get up and you do something again. But I think that's something that I just, if anything else, it's like, please, I'm not spectacular. I'm just ordinary. I'm just one mother who found herself in a lousy situation and, you know, made a terrible mistake, and I'm just no different than anybody else. And that, I think, is vitally important. No more pedestals.
Thank you for thank you for sharing that. And, you know, on my show, Claudia, you are just the type of folks that I love to have on my show, not only to be friends with and be in relationship with, to learn from and to encourage, but to really bring on to the show. It's ordinary people doing extraordinary things and really walking their talk. And that's what I really see in your life, Claudia, is that you are a woman who has, at the core, made choices, right, to really own their stuff, to mm-hmm. be compassionate and empathetic to others, to be able to communicate those in a way that brings a tremendous amount of dignity back into kind of a tumultuous and can be volatile conversation. And, you know, I have so enjoyed all my conversations with you because we do have that heart together. And we both understand that there is way more to this tapestry than meets the eye. You know, I often tell people, Claudia, that there are two sides to the tapestry. There's the side that we see, and then there's the mm-hmm. underside. And, you know, today we're going to talk a little bit about the underside, right? We kind of agreed uh-huh. that we are going to, we're going to take a little bit of a walk into the adoption closet. And so, Claudia, when you first heard and we first started chatting about those words, the adoption closet, tell me what thought as a first mom, birth mom, mom, because we know all of those terms are floating around. For less of our conversation, you're a mom. Plain and
that
simple
works for me.
To me. Is that okay? Can we agree on
that?
Oh,
yeah. That's
and
fine.
I'm a daughter,
exactly.
Right? Awesome. And so when you heard that word, adoption closet, when we first started chatting about this, what was the first thoughts that kind of came up for you?
Well, for me, I went for the first, you know, symbolic kind of coming out of the closet. And, you know, my first thought was, you know, really being able to say, you know, publicly, you know, I relinquished my child to adoption. You know, I'm not hiding it. This is, you know, what is happening, which, of course, is, you know, it's difficult with adoption because there is just still so much secrecy and so much shame and so much lack of understanding. So that, you know, when you come out, and I think there's a lot of fear on telling people because you're afraid that people are going to judge you and look at you differently. So being able to say and talk about, you know, how just freeing that is and how, you know, much easier it is and how much healthier it is a much better thing, and kind of, you know, find your voice, because I do believe very strongly, as I know you do as well, that, you know, when we all speak together, you know, we had so many conversations about the chorus, you know, when mm-hmm. all our voices come together and we are all able to, you know, speak together, it's not, you know, we can be this symphony, this beautiful chorus of voices that I think gives people such, you know, especially ones who need to be educated, such a much richer view of the whole thing. And it's not just, you know, one person saying something positive or negative that can be dismissed, but it is so many people, and we really, you know, we amplify each other. I mean, that's, you know, what I, a very strong part of the work that I do is I really believe in the amplification and support among the community and, you know, sharing everybody else's, you know, everybody else's voices and what they're doing, and because it all just grows and we all are amplified together, and that, you know, as a community, we're much, much better able to meet our goals in that direction. So, you know, my first thought was really that, and then, of course, then we chatted about the actual physical closet, which was such a fun metaphor, and, you know, I was able to, like, really think differently about that and there, and you know, what's in the closet, what is it made out of, which is, I think, us. So, you know, there's that basic level, but thinking about what the closet is really, I think, allows you to really come out of it, because if you think about what's in there, it's probably not a place that you want to be. And so it's making a choice. You know, what does it mean and how to get out?
Absolutely. You know, I totally agree. And, you know, oftentimes we stay in the closet out of fear. Right?
Oh,
and because,
gosh, yeah.
You know, when you look, right, and, you know, this is probably going to be somewhat of a repeat to our listeners who are real familiar with the Tapestry of Adoption, but there are kind of these top seven issues that keep resonating no matter what part of the Tapestry of Adoption you are in, Claudia. They totally come up. And I'm going to recap for our listeners, you know, because I'm all about raising awareness. So before we totally walk into the closet, I want to talk about what some of those layers and some of the walls of our closet can be built by. And totally, you know, as I share these, go ahead and interject. But number one is loss. Number two, rejection. Number three, guilt and shame. Four, grief. Number five, identity. Number six, intimacy. And number seven, mastery and control. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I have spoken with different people throughout my journey of almost 50 years, you know, oftentimes people have said that they have felt that they were on a silent journey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's where it comes back to these voices. And that's why I so wanted to share today just about coming out of the closet and finding your voice. Because when we have lived in a spirit or a closet of loss, rejection, guilt, shame, grief, all of those different things, that can silence us. And it can take away our voice, or oftentimes, Claudia, we can give our voice away. So not
mm-hmm.
only is our voice silenced, but we can freely give it away into society to different belief systems, assumptions or interpretations surrounding our stories. And I'm sure as a mom, you have heard and read many different things, right? And And so let's talk a little bit about, help me to understand, Claudia, what a mom's closet looks like.
Well, it's definitely, I think fear is definitely something that lives in our closets very strongly. I think fear in a lot of ways is almost the foundation. I can look back upon, you know, what made me step into this, you know, and onto this life that I am now stuck living. But, you know, what it came down to was I was afraid. You know, I was afraid of what could happen. I was afraid of how I could fail. I was afraid of what other people would say. I was afraid of perceived confrontations and conflicts that, you know, having a child at 19 would bring upon my life. And, you know, all these things that I did fear greatly influenced my decision. And, you know, that's definitely one of the great takeaways that I have learned from adoption is fear, making a choice based on fear is never a good choice, ever. Like, there's nothing that you can choose that's going to work out because you're afraid of the other outcome. And so, you know, thank goodness it has, you know, worked that way, and I've learned that, because if I'm afraid of something at this point in time, that's an automatic red flag for me that I have to not base that choice and not base my decision upon it, and I have to figure out what it is that I'm afraid of. But I think fear is definitely, like, almost like, for me, that's the foundation of everything, you know, especially when we talk about the real physical closet, like, that's the floor.
Okay.
The floor, mm-hmm. and everything else is built up around that. And, you know, there are different pieces of it. You know, I can't say for myself, and I know this will change for some mothers, and, you know, and other people that are adoption affected, you know, did I build all the walls? No. Did I build one of them? Yes. I mean, I can say, you know, people love to do the, well, you made a choice. Yeah, yeah, you didn't have a gun to your head. No, I did not have a gun to my head. But I, you know, I call it regret pie. You know, I will eat my piece of regret pie. I will own my part of it. I will take responsibility for what I did. But I'm not eating the whole pie, because that's not fair. If I have to eat my pie, other people have to eat their piece of pie too. So, you know, yes, I did definitely build it. I definitely made the first phone call that started me down the path to the adoption agency, but, you know, society had a piece of it, and they helped me build it. My mother, you know, my mother and my family especially had a piece with it. My mother even most definitely had a very strong influence in building it. The adoption agency, they had the blueprints. They knew how to build it and build it well. My son's father, you know, he had a piece, and, you know, everybody had a piece together in it. This closet was created. And, you know, I can't even say, like, you know, who had the final door. I mean, I guess maybe I was given the lock and given the key, but, you know, I willingly was convinced that it was the best thing to do, and I had to go build that closet and be happy to live in it. And I did live in it. I mean, I lived in it for, you know, a good 12 years, saying, okay, this is, you know, this is what it's like, and this is what I'll do, and this is, you know, I think so many moms, I wish there was some way to see, you know, with so many different experiences and stories and stuff, but, you know, sometimes you can see a pattern in things. You know, for me, I was there for about 12 years, which seems like is a triggering. I keep on seeing that mothers kind of reach, get tired of living in the closet around between 12 and 15 years. I'm not exactly sure why, or have actually thought that maybe because childhood is over when they turn teenagers and you realize, you know, oh, God, okay, their childhood's gone. It's over. I missed it. And it starts doing something different to our heads. I'm not sure. But, you know, I lived there for 12 years because I was told that's where it was, and this is what it's supposed to look like, and this is what I was supposed to do, and that's what I did. And thank
right.
goodness.
And, you know, go ahead.
I was going to say, thank goodness I figured out how to get out of it.
Right, because, you know, totally, our closets may feel safe because we have nowhere else to turn, but a closet's no place for a person to live, no matter what your circumstance, whether it be an addiction, an adoption, some secret of some kind in your life, right? A closet is no place for a person to live. And so, you know, as you were sharing, Claudia, I was really struck when you talked about fear being the floor, and then society and family and yourself in different circumstances kind of building those walls. And then you shared that as you have talked with other moms and, you know, been more involved in the tapestry in the last several years as you've done your research and been blogging, that kind of thing, you talked about a pattern and
mm-hmm.
that you have seen and heard. And, you know, what totally popped into my head is this idea of, okay, so then once your closet, you had all your walls, you had your floor, then, you know, there was probably some wallpaper. So when you said patterns, it totally made me think about this wallpaper that could go up on closet walls. That totally popped into my head. And, you know, listeners, you are invited right now. Claudia and I, it's kind of like we're sitting having coffee with each other, and you are privy to our conversation, and we're real and we're really authentic here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. And so, Claudia, when you hear me say wallpaper, what comes up for you?
You know, it's funny. When you said wallpaper, the visual that I get in my head, and, you know, I'm sure some psychotherapists could have fun with this, but I have stripes, bars of stripes, and they go way, way up high. And, you know, of course, as I'm saying it and I'm thinking, oh, it's like prison bars. But they're yellow, which I think is a nod to the yellow wallpaper, which is that whole, that's an old short story that I forget, basically about gaslighting, which also falls into adoption too, you know, trying to be crazy. But so it's yellow stripes, which is funny because the yellow kind of makes it pretty, but there's still stripes and it's still a prison. And, you know, that's totally the visual. But it's funny because it's only on, when I think about it and, you know, just let my mind go there, it's only on one wall. It's not the whole wall. So it's like it's pretending to be pretty and it's also pretending to be a prison. But neither one of them are true. It's not really a prison, and it's not really pretty.
Right, and, you know, it probably depends upon which lens you choose to view it, and, right, whether or not you're turned and facing that portion of the closet or not, depending on how you see that, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I think a little bit of the adoptee's closet, because that's my place, within the tapestry is I think of, you know, some of the unknowns, and I can think of my wallpaper as being extremely flowery, right? It's just, right? So you're seeing stripes. I'm kind of seeing this flower pattern all over the wall of, you know, gratefulness, right? Of kind of new birth. You know, we're coming into spring here, right? And everything is budding. And, you know, so I have that kind of a vision for it, you know, and I think of the different fabrics. And I'm thinking on my wallpaper, there's just a lot of texture. It's not just flat. Yeah. So there's a lot of texture going on for me. You know, I'm feeling some silk, some wool, some cotton, some burlap, right?
Interesting.
It's all kind of in there. Yeah. So when I say that, yeah, what's interesting to you about that?
It's just the textural. Mine's definitely not textural. And it's funny, I can also say, you know what, it's on the far wall. So when you open the door of the closet, you see this pretty, pretty wallpaper. But it's not on all the walls. It's only on the wall that you can see. So it kind of invites you in, and you can't see how far up those stripes go. And I think that's again, like a very strong analogy of, you know, how the whole experience is, you know, in so many ways, at least, you know, from the mom's perspective, and especially now, adoption is, you know, just totally put out there as this, like, wonderful option and something that, you know, is supposed to be pretty and beautiful and loving and selfless. And so you're tempted to come into the closet on this pretty wallpaper. But you don't see that the other walls are ugly, and you don't see how far those stripes go, how far that prison bar will take you.
Right. And so, you know, when you say prison bar and when you say stripes, you know, give us a peek, Claudia, into what that is like for a mom. And
well,
maybe we can use, yeah, hey, let me give you a little caveat here. We are almost at the bottom of the hour. I want to offer, before you do that, Claudia, take a breath, and I'm going to offer up this phone number again if any of our listeners would like to call in and ask any questions or share a thought. The number is 646-716-9397 to chat either with Claudia or myself, Leanne. And so, Claudia, let's, you know, inside of a closet, there is, let's make it our bedroom closet, okay, our clothes closet.
Oh, yeah,
there's a
is.
Lot of different
definitely
articles
closet.
Of clothing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely a bedroom closet. You know, we've got clothing, we've got shoes, and a lot of stuff. As I was thinking about our time together today, I was thinking about the clothes that could be hanging there that could have pegs still attached, right, new, brand new. There could be clothes in there perhaps that are dirty. There could be clothes in there that are too small or too large for us, or that completely are not our style. And so those are kind of what kind of came up for me as an adoptee. What about for you?
Well, it's funny. Even though, you know, I love my closet, and my husband built me a tiny little walk-in closet, thank goodness, because I didn't have one for a long time. And I don't think about the clothes. You know, at first, it's definitely you know, one of the things I always say about, you know, being a mother who did relinquish, it is such an isolating experience. And I think that's because we're all existing in these closets cut off from the rest of the world. And so we feel like we're the only ones who feel these things and and know these things, and, you know, without having community contact, you just feel so alone. For years, until I got online, I had never even knowingly spoken to another birth mother. It just never, I might have been in the presence of one, but, we don't have tattoos across our foreheads, and, we don't have horns. So, there's no way to know by looking at us. We're everywhere, but I never knew that there was anybody. So I'm in this closet by myself, and, of course, you can go with the skeletons in the closet, and, of course, stereotypically, adoption is supposed to be a skeleton that's in the closet. And so, even as I kind of did that train of thought before, it's like, okay, well, that means it's something, like, rotted. Like, if it's a skeleton, that means it's something died in there. And I think we do, as moms who relinquished, we do have a skeleton in our closet, and it is kind of almost like us. The mother that we could have been, the mother that we would have been, she died. She's not, we got, so just, we were changed on an immense level, cellular. There's a cellular component to it. There's a biological component to it. There's an emotional component, a mental component to it. It affects every aspect of our lives. And, we can never really ever truly be who we would have been if, this relinquishment trauma did not happen and we were not separated from our children for whatever reasons. And I think that's one of the hardest things, even working with, especially younger moms who are just going through it, and they, they're like, oh, well, when's it going to be over? And it's like, no, honey, just like your boobs aren't going to come back from this and you're going to have those stretch marks forever, you're not done. Like, it's never over. And I think that's one of the hardest things to really accept, is the fact that it's never over. So the skeleton is, almost like our death of our motherhood, of that initial motherhood, the death of who we could be and the person that we were supposed to be and are not now because of, the fact that adoption happened and relinquishment happened. And so there's a skeleton, definitely, which I think in some ways deserves a proper burial. We need to honor who we were and who we could have been, and to grieve that loss and to acknowledge that loss and, take that skeleton out. And, the other thing I was thinking of, okay, well, if it decomposed, God, that smells, and that stench of, a decomposing body affects everything. Like, when you're by something dead, even if it's on the side of the road. And, that affects, if you have, a skeleton in your closet, your house is going to smell and everything's going to be affected by it. So I think it's really vital for the health of the house, the social, the environment that you live in, to properly really bury that skeleton, honor what is gone, and to really just look at that and just go that place, which I think is hard. I think it's really hard to realize the major, major effects. And, I think it's very frightening that you can't get that back. It's done. I don't know who I would have been, but I'm different than I was, that's for sure.
Right, and to, that piece, I just loved your transparency and honesty there. That was, ladies and gentlemen who are listening, you are really invited into a sacred space, because everything Claudia shared is, directly from her heart. And Claudia, I loved when you shared that to honor what is gone. Mm-hmm. And that proper burial piece, statistics will tell us that there are between 6 and 7 million adult adoptees in America. That equates to 12 to 14 million adoptive and birth parents.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people who have the opportunity to learn to honor what is gone, and to provide a proper burial, right, and then a resurrection again to what can be from today forward. And that's pretty amazing. And I think that, that part of the closet, cleaning some of that stuff out and really recognizing and being aware of what is there is pretty powerful, because there are many people within the tapestry of adoption who are hurting, right, due to post or pre-adoption issues. Right, there's a tremendous amount of secrets and silence and separation that everybody has experienced, and oftentimes that comes from a lack of understanding, a huge disconnect, right, and just uninformed and unconscious decisions, right? That can totally come into their world.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down from the fact, too, that, you know, what we are taught about adoption, you know, in general, from media, from society, and the messages that we are given about how this is supposed to work. You know, you talk to Joe Schmo on the street and you say, what do you think about adoption? And they're going to say, oh, well, I think adoption is really good because, you know, provides, you know, homes for children who are unwanted and, you know, parents who really want them. And just even the word unwanted child, you know, is a major battle to say, guess what? Most mothers who relinquished wanted their children. Not all, but I feel very safe in saying that the great majority of mothers who I've met and even of adoptees, you know, from hearing their side of the story, most moms did not want to give up their children. I mean, I always say we're not born with, you know, different DNA, and we certainly don't, you know, we're not little girls going, when I grow up, I want to be a birth mother and have babies so other people can have families. No, nobody wants that. So, you know, there's that whole, the messaging that we're given, and I know adoptees are given, you know, very, very similar messages too. You know, moms are supposed to walk away and forget it ever happened and go on as if our lives as if it never happened. You know, and adoptees are supposed to be, you know, thankful and grateful and lucky that they were chosen and, you know, they have a better life. And so we all have this, like, messaging. And so when we don't feel the same way that the messages that are given to us teach us we're supposed to feel, we end up feeling like there's something wrong with us. And because we're in the closet, we can't, you know, we don't see other people's words. We don't hear other people's voices because we're afraid of opening that door. So we think that, you know, it's our problem that, you know, we're not healing correctly or that we don't feel lucky or we have anger and we don't know why or, you know, we're not feeling grateful and thankful that this happened. And, you know, I think that's a major, major issue is that, you know, which is why coming out and at least even dipping your toe into the community, at least just reading what other people say is just so empowering and that first step towards being able to say, wow, so I'm not alone, so I'm not the only one who feels this way, so what I'm feeling isn't wrong, so I'm not wrong, there's nothing wrong with me, there's something wrong with what I'm being told instead. And that's, like, I find just to be so, you know, just important for people to find, you know, find their way out, stick their toe in the water, and realize that it's not something wrong with them, you know. I always say it's welcome home. Welcome home. This is the place where you really are accepted.
Right, and all those layers, I love that. Welcome home, because, you know, and that's the safe place that definitely I want to provide on my radio show, Walk Your Talk with Leanne, as well as within my coaching practice and my intimate relationships, everything. It's like, welcome home. It's okay to be real where you are. And, you know, because oftentimes I think within the society of adoption and within our culture, we are told how to think and believe about adoption. And oftentimes we don't take time to really think about what do I really believe about adoption. You know, Claudia, I've talked to so many people within my community for, you know, the last several years, and some people don't even really know what they think about it. And you know what just blows them away? That when I share that many of us don't have original copies of our birth certificates, can even consenting moms and kiddos can't even get them. And, you know, people are blown away when kind of this lid is blown off of some of the secrets that surround adoption. You know, I'm going back to the closet analogy, and I'm thinking of the ceiling right now, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what is that ceiling? And oftentimes it's this, you know, paper ceiling that we just have to bust through because people think they know what the entire box looks like. And in reality, not so much. And oftentimes the walls in our closet are paper, and so is mm-hmm. the ceiling that we just have to bust through, right? And start to raise awareness in all of these issues about that the feelings are very real. You know, adoption started with a loss, and adoption is a lifetime event. It's not a one-time
Definitely.
Action, a signature on a piece of paper, all of this, you know, the process that we each walk through is incredibly unique to each one of us and needs to be honored, and dignity needs to be brought into the equation and brought into the closet. And those who have the courage to walk into our closet with us and help us clean it out, right?
That is the one thing that I've learned too. I mean, oh my God, I know for myself, I would not be here in this position that I am today, and I would not be the person that I am if I did not, at one point, thank God it was early on my journey, and I realized, oh, okay, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe I need to listen. And thank goodness, you know, there was wonderful, strong women who were, you know, sharing that went before me, you know, the older moms. And, I mean, you know, I just stopped talking. I stopped defending what I was taught and, you know, babbling my elevator speech over and over again and just started listening. And, you know, the wealth of information and the stories that, you know, that are there that you can take in and that, you know, gave me that sense of, oh, okay, maybe everything I was taught wasn't right. And that was, you know, probably the busting of my ceiling, especially because, you know, what I really realized early on, thank goodness, was it's not, you know, the made-for-TV movies that are teaching me about adoption. I need to listen to what the adoptees say about adoption because I hadn't, you know, met my son yet. I hadn't found him yet. He was still, you know, lost into the world. But they were speaking for him, and I needed to listen to them so that I could be what he needed me to be when and if I ever, and it was still an if then, when and if I had ever found him. And, you know, it was the adoptees who said to me, you know, listen, don't say that you don't regret it. Because for an adoptee, when they hear that their mother doesn't regret it, what we hear is, we don't, you know, you're fine with the fact that you missed out of all my life journeys. You know, you're fine that you weren't there for the first day of school. And of course, I'm not fine. You know, like I missed him entirely, you know, incredibly, and you know, it was just, you know, it's you know, it's a constant grief and a constant loss that grows as every day passes and you're still separated from your child. But I had never, you know, I never thought about it in that term. And I certainly wasn't taught to think about it in that term by the adoption agency or by anything that was, you know, in the media. But for me, it was, you know, listening to that and going, oh, my God, okay, well, the adoptees are telling me this. I need to listen to them because they are speaking for my child now. I can't hear his voice, but I can hear theirs. And I need to change what I think and what I know. I have a lot of work to do so that I can be better for him. And that, you know, that was my ceiling busting open. And from then, you know, once the ceiling wasn't holding everything together, the walls started falling down.
Mm. Wow, I just had goosebumps, like from head to toe.
But I think it really comes down to, you know, like, yeah, we all know our own experience. And then, like, you know, where we are in the journey, though, like, you know, if you had said to me 15 years ago, hey, Claude, this is where you're going to be in 15 years, I would have been like, you are a crazy person. You don't know what you're talking about. There is no way in heck that this is what I'm going to be doing. I mean, I didn't even write. I wasn't even a writer. I didn't even journal, really. So it's just, you know, it's crazy, you know. There's no way this would have been where I am and who I am. I was very happy living in my closet. If you had said, you know, oh, adoption might not have been the best thing that you could have done, in the beginning, I defended that, you know, and I think that's something that people do. It's part of, you know, the process and part of the journey is, you know, when you're first given all these information and, you know, you see this new side of things that maybe don't jive with what you thought you knew, it's frightening because it kind of goes to that foundation of, you know, you've built everything on these walls and, you know, you've built this wall up and you're in this safe little closet and now they're rocking your foundation. It's like an earthquake, you know, and of course you're like trying to brace the walls and be like, leave me alone. I want to stay here. This is my safe little place that I've built and this is my belief system. And I think that happens for everybody. I think that happens for, you know, for moms, for adoptive parents, for adoptees, you know, the first person who like starts knocking on your door, you're like, I don't need any of that here. Please go away. I'm safe in my closet. But you don't even know you're in the closet. you think you have this perfect little house. You're like, no, I don't need any of that here.
Absolutely, and I think that is, you know, you just kind of blew the lid right off of that, is sometimes we don't even realize that we are in the closet, right?
No.
Because of what we have been told or taught or conditioned ourselves to believe, because in some way, you know, there is grief and loss associated in adoption. You and I can both agree to that. It's all over, right? We
it's
know
the foundation.
And,
it
you
is
know,
the foundation.
It is. It is. There's a tremendous amount of grief and loss. And, you know, it's kind of amazing to me how when we start shaking that up and the walls do start coming down and we really do lean in and listen to one another, all of a sudden, we do. We realize those walls are paper, right? And we can totally get in and really start cleaning this out if we have the courage to really listen to one another and not to, you know, impose our thoughts or beliefs or our values or convictions on anybody else, right? But just to really lean in and listen. And, you know, there's a tremendous amount of value that we can learn from each other, just like you learn by listening to adoptees. Me as an adoptee, I learn by listening to moms. I also learn, you know, a tremendous amount by, you know, listening to my peers. And I think when we have the courage to stand shoulder to shoulder, to come out of the adoptee closet, to look around and see what's really going on, to take a chance and take the risk of revealing our closet to other people, then that's where a lot of the healing can begin. And the growth, the level of understanding, and a huge amount of awareness that is so incredibly valued to our society today to kind of blow away some of these myths that surround adoption in that closet. Because there are many, many coats are hanging in that closet that cover up some of the truths and the realities that each one of us within the tapestry walk through.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And, you know, there's also, there's different points of, you know, where people are, you know, maybe they still have 1 foot in the closet, maybe they have 2 feet in the closet, maybe they're just peeking out the door, you know, maybe they're still at the point where they're trying to, like, you know, cover up the cracks on the floor. You know, I think it probably holds truth for everybody who's involved. You know, I mean, it's a life-altering thing. You know, as we said, it's not a one-time event at all. And, you know, when you start really looking into and even just accepting the basic, you know, Kravit, that it's a foundation of grief and loss. You know, I don't think people, you know, it tarnishes this pretty picture of, you know, a beautiful adoption. And when you've built your whole life, or, you know, for an adoptee whose whole life is built upon this, you know, for adoptive parents who believe that, you know, I do believe that most people are really good people and have the best intentions. I know that, you know, I had good intentions. I don't necessarily think that the adoption industry always has good intentions, but I think that most human beings really do have good intentions and are trying to do the right thing. So when you built your whole life upon something that you thought was good, and now here comes somebody who says, hey, maybe it's not so good, you're going to resist that, because it's not just, you know, they're not just saying, hey, those shoes are ugly. They're saying, you know, the whole thing might have been built wrong. You know, it's like, oh, your house is built on a cemetery. Nobody wants to know that. So I think the natural reaction is to, you know, definitely resist first. And, you know, eventually, hopefully people are, you know, I don't want to say strong, because I really hate the word strong, but hopefully people can, like, you know, just take a break for a moment and let it process and filter in and start really just being challenged by those questions and challenged by those thoughts and be willing to go there. And it doesn't mean that it has to fit them. You know, it doesn't have to, but try it on. See what it means. Let it filter in. You know, how does that fit? How does it fit, like, for real? You know, think deeper about it. You know, and it's definitely, I think it's definitely challenging for people. It's funny because I guess because I did it myself, and so very consciously knew that, you know, I mean, I hated, oh God, I hated the first, you know, the first moms who really questioned me. I was just so angry at them, and I just remember hating them. And of course, I don't hate them at all anymore. I'm so thankful. But, I think that first reaction is to be extremely defensive and to be very angry at the people that dare try to tell you otherwise. And so, you know, it's the first step, and I think it's a normal step. And I think as a community to help other people along in their journey, we have to be recognize the fact that, you know, that is the first step, and it's okay if somebody hates our guts at first. And, you know, we don't have to, like, bang them over the head with it, but just kind of maybe get a flashlight and maybe offer them a flashlight under the crack of the door. Say, hey, when you're ready, you know, here's a little bit of light that can maybe shine something on it. It doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to take a bulldozer and go crashing other people's closets. Just, you know, maybe put them a note under the door. Hey, when you're ready to come out, it's okay out here. I'll be waiting for you. It's all right. Think about it. You know, I think in general, you know, that's something that, you know, I hate being critical, but if there was something that I did have to say, you know, criticize the adoption community as a whole, I would say that is one of the things is that sometimes we're just not as gentle or respectful of other people's positions, especially when they are just first putting their toe into the water. You know, you don't want to be the shark in the water that tries to eat them up.
Right, because they're, you know, there is a lot of emotion wrapped up in this. There's a lot of schools of thought in it. And we want, you know, oftentimes we want somebody to be where we are instead of allowing them the privilege of traveling their own journey. And so by providing them with a safe place, I call it kind of a sacred place for them to be able to really explore. And I love the words, you know, having soft conversation. It doesn't need to be volatile, right? Because that's not going to bring anybody out of the closet. Being volatile.
No, it's going to make them close
very,
their door
harsh.
And lock it. Yeah, they're going to lock their door.
Absolutely, and they're not going to want to look and see if there's anything in there that maybe they haven't seen yet. And, you know, by providing that phone conversation, by providing a real dignified, you know, really honoring each person and honoring their story in a very real and genuine way is what is going to, you know, allow each one of us to take that next step into courage, I call it. You know, it's not even strength, it's just courage in general. Because it takes courage, doesn't it, Claudia, to open the door, to start to look through the racks, to start to try on the shoes, to see if the shoes that I have been walking in are truly mine or are they the shoes that somebody else gave me. Is the coat what I want to put on? Is it really who authentically I am? Or is it a hand-me-down that somebody gave me? You know, we're full of metaphors on our show today, but I think it really does help us to wrap our mind around the idea because we've got to break through some of these stereotypes that typically come in within the tapestry of adoption that we all need to have hearts or we all need to have a cloak of gratitude. We all need to have a cloak of relief. Right? What are some of the other ones that you have heard that we should, as a mom or an adoptee, what articles of clothing should we be putting on? This is a world telling us now.
We love our joke. We love to joke about our capes. You know, we're heroic family-building angels, so, you know, where's our capes? Everybody, we got capes. We got glitter. You know, where's our halo? You know, I have a halo, and I have my angel wings. But then, you know, I have my devil horns, too. And then, of course, you know, there's my crack pipe because, you know, what kind of horrible person could do such a thing? I mean, there's such a dichotomy of, you know, let's go from one extreme to the other. You're either one way or the other way. You know, I mean, a sinner or a saint. I can't be a normal person as opposed to, you know, what really is reality, which is, you know, every mother who does relinquish, I'm sorry, she's a very real person. And in some ways, we've allowed ourselves not to be real people and to be mythological and to have all these stereotypes put upon us because we're not saying, no, this is who I am. Look at me. I'm out of the closet. Here is my mirror. I see what you see. But you know what? Your view is kind of wrong. Let me tell you about what it's like. And I think with adoptees, it's the same thing. You know, no, you don't tell me how I feel. Let me tell you how it feels to be adopted. Because, yeah, you might be an agency and you might have written a book and, you know, you might be some social worker, but this is my life, so I'm in control of it. You know, and I think even going back to the closet, you know, I had to laugh. You know, I was like, okay. So, you know, typical tools of organizing. You take things into three piles. You give it away. You use it. You throw it away. And I think giving it away is something that it resonates really strongly with me, because there were definitely, you know, there's things that, you know, once I really started digging in and what everything meant, you know, there are aspects where, like, it almost comes back to regret pie. Like, it's not all my fault. And, you know, there are other parties that failed me as, you know, this 19-year-old girl who could not be, you know, she was failed by other people. You know, I was failed by myself, but I was also failed by others. And so for me, part of it, too, is making sure that, you know, I gave it away to people who deserved it, you know. And so for me, the big one is, you know, the enemy is not necessarily anybody else in the community. The enemy is the adoption industry. So I'm going to give it back to them. Like, if it's anger, you know, yeah, I have a right to be angry. You know, I was used. So here, you guys can have this back, because it doesn't serve me in my life. I don't want to be angry, but the anger needs a place to go. So it's going to go to them. So I will give that away. You know, other things, the shame, I throw that away. There's no reason for me. You know, and part of that comes down from, you know, being able to say, you know, I guess bury my skeleton and honor who I was. But, you know, I'm not going to carry that shame. That shame does not fit me anymore. It's throw it away. I'm not going to be embarrassed. I'm not going to be ashamed. You know, I will say how this works, and I will use it. I will use it for me, and I will use it for us in general, because that's how it's going to be. I'm going to use this because it's in the closet anyway, and damn, if, you know, it's not doing any good, well, what's the point? You know, it needs to come out of the closet, and I need to be who I am. And I will take all that, and, you know, it's mine. And part of even getting rid of the fear is the fact that I don't hide anything. There's nothing for me to hide anymore. And that's what I really, that part of it is just so freeing, because you really lose the fear when you've controlled what you've told, when you've told your story, when, you know, I always say I blog because I'm lazy, but, you know, when there's arguments and there's something and someone wants to know, so what's your story? Here's a link. Read it at your leisure. You know, I don't have to keep on saying the same thing over and over again. And I do that with a lot of issues. You know, like, oh, well, we've talked about this 15 times. I can't talk about it anymore. Let me just write a blog post about it so I can just link to it. And that works out a lot better. It's much more efficient of my time. But, you know, because I have basically said, you know, yeah, you want to know my story? You want to know who I am? There's nothing that anybody can hold over me, because I've already exposed everything that's in my closet. My closet at this point in time is inside out. You know, it is all out there. And that, so much light, so much air, it is such a better place to live.
It is
so much easier.
You can breathe.
I can breathe, and I do. I take deep breaths, and even though I hate, to this day, I will hate how I got to this place. I will hate the first step that got me here, but I certainly am extremely happy to be here, and I love where I am now, and I love the work that I do, and I love the people that I've met, and, you know, these experiences, it's been amazing, but... you know, it's because there's just so much more freedom and light, and that closet is just not something. It doesn't exist anymore.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations on all of that, Claudia. And, you know, it has been an incredible privilege as I've gotten to know you and hear your story and read what you write and see the impact that you're having on our community. It's very inspirational. And, you know, it's really, I think it provides so many with an opportunity to take a look into somebody else's life who has walked this journey and made the choice to not hide anymore, but to use their voice to raise awareness, to use their voice for their own healing, as well as the forward movement of the entire process. Because, you know, so many people, as you know, Claudia, have been laboriously championing the opening of records, the
decades now,
decades. And
decades.
So many people are not aware, right? Because that's not the stuff that makes the media on a regular basis. But it's starting to happen. You know, it's for such a time as this, right? Where we as adoptees, as moms, kiddos, everybody, you know, and the adoptive moms as well that I have met that have been absolutely amazing, that really do have a huge heart and a desire to kind of blow the lid off some of these myths that keep so many in the closet that are not serving them at all, that, you know, we really do have an opportunity for such a time as this to continue these conversations. You know, whether it is live on radio, like we're doing here today, one-on-one with your neighbor, somebody at your church, somebody that you're seeing at the grocery store that obviously has an interracial, you know, adoption going mm-hmm. on. Those are the ones that we know that are obvious, right, to the naked eye. But when we, you know, when we get down to it, when we look at the statistics about how many of us are kind of running around in this world that have been
we're everywhere.
And you know, when people have the courage, right, to really get to know and ask those questions, help me to understand what it's like to be a mom. Help me to understand what it's like to be a kiddo touched by adoption. And oftentimes people are afraid, and that's what stops us from being able to share. And that's what keeps everybody in their own little closet when it comes mm-hmm. to this issue of adoption. And so thank you for helping, you know, blow the walls down with me today to pop the ceiling, to release the floor of fear, because it is a prison that none of us need mm-hmm. to stay in. It's not a safe place. Like you and I have both shared, it's a stinky place. There can be dirty laundry there. There can be things that absolutely do not belong in our closets. And so it is really time, right, to start releasing all of that and moving stuff around. And, you know, you and I are both here for the community if somebody does want to take that step, right, into really looking in the closet, peeking around and starting. And that's what I love about you and I love about the work that I do, is really being able to stand shoulder to shoulder with those who really feel entrapped and, you know, kind of in a prison, if you will, or in a closet of guilt or shame, grief, loss or rejection, that it's time to let those things go. We need to acknowledge them for what they are, don't we, Claudia? And
oh, yeah.
You know, because it is real. We can't just dismiss it and go, oh, let's all talk about everything happy.
Can't put
because
a fresh coat
fair.
Of paint over that.
We can't. We do
can't.
We do have to
nope.
start knocking those down. And so you and I are both here to be able to serve this community in a very real and authentic and loving and respectful way. And I just really thank you for that and the privilege of your friendship, the privilege of our conversation. And believe it or not, we are at the top of the hour, which is blowing me away on how fast this time went, Claudia. And, you know, I definitely want to have you on again as we continue to bust through these myths and, you know, explore this closet further about what's really there and what needs to go. And so if our listeners, Claudia, would like to know more about you, how to get a hold of you, read your blog, and know more about what's up and coming for you, how would they do that?
Oh, well, that's really easy. They just have to Google Claudia and adoption because that's the easiest way to find me. Google knows exactly where I am. But any variation of usually my name, adoption, birth mother blog, any of that, Google will lead the way. Google's my friend.
Awesome. Fantastic. And listeners, if you'd like to get in touch with me, Leanne Parsons at Legacy Now Lives, and I am the Walk Through Talk coach, you can reach me at area code 505-412-1817. You can get a hold of me at legacynowlives@gmail.com and be looking out for a brand new website that is going to be coming to you soon. But currently, right now, you can find me on walkyourtalkwithleanne.com, and I would be honored if you would have a desire to share your story with me and learn more about the work that I do as a life and leadership coach, definitely impacted and have a passion for the adoption community. And, you know, Claudia and I stand here with you in support, and we just love you so much, and we're so grateful that you chose to spend your afternoon with us. And I just want to encourage each one of you, until we meet again, to start walking into a legacy now lived. Thank you so much. I love you all. Enjoy your May. Enjoy your National Day of Prayer. Embrace those that you love. Hold them close. And many blessings to each one of you.